Thursday, April 18th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And yes, everything here in Colorado is just fine. We had to deal with someone coming up here from Florida and causing some trouble, but we are all okay. Hey, if you are tired of the same old sports talk of arguments and callers that are yelling into their phones, hang out here for a little while. You're going to like it a lot better. We talk sports with a dose of common sense, and we'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world whenever we get that chance. And trust us on this, the sports world gives us that chance quite a bit. Hey, happy Thursday to you. And we do have a pretty important event that took place on this day in sports history, because it was on April 18th, 1995, that quarterback Joe Montana announced that he would be retiring from the game of football. Hey, I know we look at this era now and we wonder how guys like maybe an Elway or a Dan Marino would have done. Understandable, because I think they both would have been phenomenal in this era. I think they would have been all but unstoppable in this era. But remember what it was that kind of did in Joe Montana that made him retire maybe a little bit earlier than he should have. Because it was all those hits to the head and all those hits to the neck. But think about the accuracy that Joe Montana had. Think about how good he was. Maybe not at scrambling. He wasn't a scrambler. But he was really, really good at just avoiding pressure, sliding up in the pocket, stepping away from potential defenders. And his quick decision-making would have made it nearly impossible to play against Joe Montana today with these rules and all of the things helping the offense right now. Joe Montana would have put up unreal numbers in today's era. So you can't touch him or his receivers. You know, we look at Tom Brady and we look at Drew Brees and we see them playing into their 40s and still making it look as easy as they both do. Joe Montana has to be sitting somewhere going, oh yeah, that must be nice. Must be nice considering neither one of you have ever been hit in your life. You try throwing for all of your yardage and all of your touchdowns and winning all of your Super Bowls with Leonard Marshall sticking his helmet in the back of your neck. Hey, Joe Montana would have been great in any era, and it was on this day that he announced he was going to give it up. I have a feeling he would have lasted much, much longer in today's game. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us what sports figure you think could have played in any era at any time, at any place. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you have a suggestion for us here at The Dose. Reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Also, make sure that you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of the Daily Dose gear that we do have available over there. We've got Daily Dose t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, coffee mugs, stickers, you name it. We've got a number of Daily Dose items over at tpublic.com, so make sure that you stop by over there. Hey, we've got a lot to get through today. We do have a few news stories that we want to talk about, but then we are going to be continuing our conversation with longtime basketball coach Russ McKinstry. We have been talking with Coach Mack this week. We have recapped March Madness, taken a look at how the Virginia Cavaliers were able to navigate their way all the way through that tournament, and we have started to look at the NBA playoffs. Today, we are going to finish up the NBA East, move over to the Western Conference, and even get his pick for the NBA Finals. But first, we do have a couple of things coming out in the world of news. And there is some big news in the NFL, kids. No, I'm not talking about the NFL schedule. I'll get to that in just a second. But I am talking about the fact that the Los Angeles Chargers have announced the switch to the iconic powder blue jerseys as their primary home uniform for this upcoming season.
What?
Yeah, that's pretty intense. You know, variations of those uniforms date back to the team's first year in 1960. And the Chargers have brought back those powder blue jerseys as kind of an alternate jersey over the past few seasons. But Chargers President of Business Operations, A.G. Spanos, said the franchise intends to embrace the team's legacy and the latest move to make the powder blue jerseys the primary uniform is further indication of that. Here's what Spanos had to say. I've talked to our fans, and they love the uniforms and the colors. They love the lightning bolt. It's truly iconic. It's very special, and we have a great history. When you look at players like LaDainian Tomlinson, Dan Fouts, Junior Seau, and on, I think it's important to keep that tradition going. Wait a minute. Hold on. This is what the Spanos family heard? The fans have been screaming a number of things at the Spanos family and the Chargers franchise. The fans were screaming, don't leave San Diego. Yeah, they didn't hear that, did they? The Chargers fans were screaming, don't trade away Fred Dean. Nothing. Don't sign David Boston and Eddie Royal to huge free agent deals. Yeah, they let that one go. Let Marco Coleman leave. He's not going to produce what we need. Don't draft Ryan Leaf. Keep Drew Brees. All of those things went completely unheard by Chargers management. There's one guy, like, back in the back of the room saying, hey, you know, those baby blue uniforms are pretty sweet. Hey, well, we listen to our fans. That guy's going to get exactly what he wants. You know, we wonder why the Chargers are snake bit. Look no further than the silly moves their front office makes. And of course, yes, the NFL schedule did come out last night. A number of interesting games that are going to be on that schedule. But one of the ones that really stands out is the fact that Tom Brady and the reigning Super Bowl champion New England Patriots will be opening the 2019 regular season with a Sunday night matchup against, yes, racist Ben Roethlisberger and those Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the Patriots do have a few other opponents on their schedule that might have made for an interesting game in that opener. You know, New England is going to be playing Kansas City in a rematch of last season's AFC Championship game. Plus, they will have the Cleveland Browns. That's not a bad matchup, especially in week one when everyone's super hyped about the Browns. Might have thought they would have built that one up a little bit. They will have a week 9 game on Sunday night in Baltimore against the Ravens. We know the Ravens and the Patriots have a bit of a rivalry there. And of course, they do have games like the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Those might have been good openers as well, but the NFL decided to go with the Patriots versus Steelers in that first game. And that's not bad. I mean, we aren't exactly sure what we're going to get with Pittsburgh, but you would think the Steelers are going to be out to prove this year that they are bigger and better than just Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Like I said, I think they could have pumped up that Cleveland thing, but I do know this. Scheduling the Steelers here is probably more interesting than the Cowboys, probably more interesting than the Eagles. So I think that's actually some good news. Patriots versus Steelers will be a fun first Sunday night game of the year. And we actually have some more good news today because speaking of those New England Patriots, a Florida judge has issued a temporary protective order Wednesday stopping the release of video evidence of sexual services Robert Kraft allegedly received from that massage parlor down in Florida. Woo-hoo! Kraft's legal team has been scrambling to stop the release after the Palm Beach County State's attorney surprised the New England Patriots and other defendants Wednesday morning by announcing they were going to be releasing the video as soon as possible, saying Florida's open records law gives them no other option. Now, Judge Joseph Marks has a scheduled hearing for April 29th, and he is going to make a ruling then on that video evidence. But you know what's interesting? We wonder who it is that wants this stuff released. A group of media companies, including ESPN, we might add, are the ones suing for the release of all material, including that video evidence. And state prosecutors said in court documents, there is nothing about Kraft's case that allows them to withhold the evidence from the public. The material might be obscene, but that's not a reason to exempt it from release, they argued. But understand this. The block on this evidence, the block on this whole thing, it is just temporary. Like, you can temporarily do this, but we know that there are a number of people, I mean, you've got the TMZs and the ESPNs and all these media outlets, they are going to want that video. It is going to be coming eventually.
That's what she said.
I'm just warning you all ahead of time. We have this brief reprieve where the judge stepped in and said, hey, temporarily, we're not going to let that stuff go. It might come out eventually, but for right now, we are not going to let that stuff out.
That's what she said.
Just understand this, Daily Dose listener. You don't have to watch it when it comes out.
That's what she said.
Okay, enough of this. You know what? We need to move on. Coming back, we are going to be continuing our conversation with longtime basketball coach Russ McKinstry. Who does he like in the NBA playoffs this year? And can anyone beat the Golden State Warriors? We are going to get back to that conversation when we get back. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, whether it's for yourself, maybe you have birthdays coming up, maybe you have holidays coming up, just remember, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. April's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Showdown. When the time for talking is over and there are scores to be settled, these pop culture heavy hitters are always ready for a showdown. Hey, join us as we celebrate iconic battles with epic gear. April's Loot Crate theme features items from Captain Marvel, Aquaman, and Godzilla, King of the Monsters. But remember, if none of those franchises interest you, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a selection of crates. You can get a monthly subscription of crates that'll arrive in your mailbox every month. Or you can just go over there and order individual items. And remember, they have a ton of things in any franchise that you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for listening to the Daily Dose. So this week, we have been talking with longtime basketball coach Russ McKinstry. You know, we looked back at the NCAA tournament. We talked about how the Virginia Cavaliers were able to win it all. So many landmines that they had to step through. Yesterday, we started to look at the NBA playoffs. And understand this, we had this conversation this past weekend, but it is still interesting to see Coach Mack's views on which teams would be winning. Go ahead and listen and see what he got right. And I'm telling you, he got most all of it right. Yesterday, we started off over in the Eastern Conference. We looked at the Milwaukee Bucks versus Detroit Pistons. We looked at the Toronto Raptors versus Orlando Magic. And we talked about the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Brooklyn Nets. Let's jump back in right now with the Boston Celtics versus the Indiana Pacers series over in the NBA Eastern Conference. Coach, I really think the two maybe most talented teams over in the East are Philadelphia and the Boston Celtics. Boston is facing Indiana in this first round, but I feel like chemistry may end up biting them both. The Boston Celtics, you look at that team, they're better than what they were last year on paper, but they're so much worse than they actually were.
Yeah, and it's so atypical of a Brad Stevens, you know, team. You know, he is so well-respected and, you know, very current, up-to-date players type of coach that they respect. But, yeah, there's something funky with the chemistry there, and I don't know if it's Kyrie or Jason Tatum or who, or maybe it's a little bit of everybody that they I think are prone for the first round upset. If you had to put me and pinpoint me down on what team might not make it through the first round, the Celtics kind of scare me.
Yeah, they do me too, especially with a team like Indiana, who I look at them and say, well, they're not even that overly talented, but you know what they do? They play extremely hard every single night. They work really well together. They could be a team that would sneak up on a Boston. They have no business beating them. Without Oladipo, there's no way Indiana should hang with them. Yeah, I'm right there with you. They could sneak up on Boston and knock them out. And maybe that's just the best thing for Boston. Move on past this year, get rid of Kyrie and do whatever you're going to do with your offseason moves. But that Boston team, they are so talented. If they could just put things together. We see this so many times though. How many times do we see these teams? I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you could just put aside your petty drama, you're a really, really talented team, but they can't do that.
Yeah, kind of shocking. You know, you expect that at the high school level and maybe a little bit at the college level, but you think grown adult men and all the resources they have available to work through these issues would work through these issues. But you're right, and that's a good analogy. The Celtics and the Pittsburgh Steelers are so gifted, so talented, so many pieces in place, but they tear each other down to the point where they have a hard time succeeding.
Yeah, and it's too bad because I think they probably will look back at this year and say, wow, we were loaded. What happened that year?
Yeah, exactly.
Moving over to the Western Conference, let's discuss those teams over there. We know the number one seed, the Golden State Warriors, look like they are primed for another, you know, run all the way to the title. They'll be facing a Los Angeles Clippers team. They're scrappy. They're young. I just don't think they have the horses to hang with Golden State. The one thing I wanted to ask you, does Golden State now hit that postseason switch? Because they've been very lackadaisical throughout the regular season. Mm-hmm. What allows a team to hit that switch? Because some teams can do it. Some teams, I think, depend on it too much. It can be really, really dangerous to rely on that switch. Okay, now we're really serious. Well, what have you been doing? Is Golden State the kind of team that can just hit that switch and take off now, though?
You know, I would have rubber stamped the Warriors midway through the year, you know, and as they were, you know, just kind of getting through the regular season because they had to. And, you know, they're just kind of waiting for the playoffs to hit so they can really re-energize themselves and make their championship run. I kind of figured that it was a done deal, but, you know, it's kind of worked out funky for them. And that now all of a sudden, you know, they're going to have to go through Houston second round. If they have any type of injury situations or, you know, Durant or Draymond or whoever, you know, if they have some mental breakdowns, I could see them maybe struggling a little bit more than they have in the past. I still think they're too talented not to get through the West and be the representative from the West, but there might be a little bit more twists and turns and curves that they face that typically they wouldn't have in past years.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm looking at them too, because they do have, they have some exploitable things. You just have to be the right team to be able to exploit them. And I don't know that we have anyone this year in the league that can exploit them. I guess we'll see. I know one team that I don't think can exploit them, and that is the next team we're going to talk about, because the number two seed Denver Nuggets will be facing the San Antonio Spurs. Coach, the more I look at this series, the more I think it is probably actually the best, most favorable series for Denver, just the way they're playing right now, because I don't think San Antonio is that talented. I just worry about Greg Popovich out-coaching Malone in this series, but I think San Antonio is a team. Can't Denver at least get past the Spurs?
Well, you know, it makes me pause and reflect a little bit. You know, of the eight teams from the West going into playoffs, the team that is playing poorly are the Nuggets, unfortunately.
Yes. Yes.
You know, their last 10 to 15 games, they have definitely fallen in love with the jump shot. Will Barton is not playing very well at all, not making good decisions, doesn't seem to be focus, doesn't seem to be playing hard at all times. Gary Harris, about the last two games, is showing that maybe he's back, coming back. Millsap is up and down. The Joker is so immature. You know, you never know for sure what you're going to get there.
Right.
I have some concerns. I think they are so talented and deep. I think Malik Beasley, Monty Morris, some of the bench people that we have who have been playing really well, I think they'll be the difference. But, you know, if they lose this one coming out of the gate, if they lose the first one at home, then I'm going to be really concerned. So I think a key is if they get that win tonight, I think they're going to be on their way and it'll be a struggle, but they'll get it done. If they lose tonight, I'm really worried they won't get it done.
Yeah, and that's kind of scary, especially when you have a bunch of kids that have no playoff experience whatsoever. I do look at this and maybe, you know, let's pick your brain here. If I'm the Nuggets, I'm going to put Nikola Jokic outside on the perimeter and I'm going to force LaMarcus Aldridge to come out and find him, get him out of the paint so that we can get some attacks to the basket. If you're Greg Popovich, you know that's coming. What is it that you're going to try to do to maybe counter that? Do you switch the matchup? Do you do something different with Jokic?
If I'm Popovich, I'm going to make the Nuggets prove that they're willing to play, you know, tough, rugged, at the rim basketball. Because again, all I've seen the last, you know, 15 to 20 games are guys that love shooting the three and will only take, you know, a direct drive, hard approach to the rim if you absolutely, you know, give them the opportunity. But they're not looking for that opportunity. So if I'm Pop, I'm going to say, okay, let's make these guys put it on the floor and prove that they're willing to play a little bit of old fashioned Detroit Piston, you know, rough, hard-nosed, defensive, in-your-face basketball type, and see how they react to that, you know, and, you know, try and get in Joker's mind. You know, really, the pulse of the team to me is Jamal Murray. He's the only one that seems to enjoy that type of challenge, that type of basketball, where everybody else seems to be more like a finesse player. So I'm going to make finesse players become hard-nosed, you know, in-your-face, rugged, you know, bad boy basketball type players and see if they can handle that role. And that's where, you know, we'll see, because they're going to have to. If they don't, they won't make it out.
No, they won't. And I struggle with, and we've talked about this before, I struggle with this team because they don't necessarily have a guy that says, give me the ball and get out of the way. And Jamal Murray is probably the closest thing to it. Will Barton will do it, but you don't want him to do it.
Exactly.
He has no fear whatsoever, but, you know, he's just that guy. But I have seen Nikola Jokic, games on the line, he doesn't always want the basketball. And I don't know that you can learn how to be that guy without just doing it. I don't think you can either be it or not. I think you kind of have to do it and experience it and say, okay, I've done it before. I can build off of that. I don't know. Maybe this is just a big learning experience for these Nuggets.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, Joker is so talented and has such a natural feel for the game. But the one thing he is he's way too nice of a young man. Yeah. You know, he's, you know, when you looked at Bird and Jordan and Kobe, I mean, they just have this cold hearted approach where, you know, they would just as soon beat up their grandma as lose a game. And Nikola, you know, he doesn't have that mentality. He's kind of a soft teddy bear. Let's go give the guy a big hug. He's just such a nice, rub his head, you know.
Yeah.
Nice young man. And that's got to change. You know, some Jamal Murray, you know, he has that presence as a perimeter player, but you've got to have that presence inside. I think Millsap wants to be that guy, but he's just not talented enough at this point in his career to be that guy. So, you know, I see, you know, Millsap and Nikola are going to have to really man it up through the playoffs if the Nuggets are going to go anywhere.
Yeah, and you know, I look at a guy like Plumlee, who again is not very talented, but maybe he just comes in and just wreaks havoc and just, yeah, you know, plays rugged and tough, hard-nosed basketball that you need, because they're going to need that in that series, especially against San Antonio, who's not overly talented. That's not a very talented team. They're probably the least talented team that made it into the playoffs over on the Western side, but they'll play tough and they'll play smart, and I don't know. We're going to have to see if Denver can get past that. Coach, let's move on to the next matchup, which is the Houston Rockets that we talked about a little earlier, facing the Utah Jazz. And I know that we are all excited about that Houston versus Golden State series. Hey, Houston better not sleep on these Jazz. They're a pain.
No, and I was so, you know, I was so happy that the Nuggets didn't match up with the Jazz.
Right.
You know, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. I mean, those guys, they're the real deal. And then they've got some pieces around them that make that team really dangerous. So, no, I would not be surprised if that one is a lot like the Nuggets Spurs. It might go 6 or 7, and a couple things that don't go right for the Rockets, they could be the team that gets beat out in the first round too.
Coach, you know, the Utah Jazz are such a pain because they play really, really good defense. You know, with Gobert, you can sit in there and block shots. You got, you know, guys like Derek Favors, who'll go get rebounds, but then they can shoot the heck out of the basketball too. Houston, don't start looking forward to Golden State, because if you do, you might get yourself in some serious trouble.
Yeah, you know, the Jazz, they're a little bit beat up. I know Ricky Rubio's coming off some injury stuff, and, you know, Kyle Korver, who they got back. And if they can find a way to get these guys healthy, who knows?
Yeah. Coaches, if you were defending against James Harden, he is such a goofy player. I don't even know what to label him as, but he is almost unstoppable with the NBA rules, what they are right now. And obviously they let him get away with some traveling and some stuff like that. How in the world would you try to defend James Harden?
You know, that's the way I look at it is this. I don't think you can. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to concentrate on options 2, 3, and 4 and really come up with a great scheme to limit some of the other people that, provide the scoring when he's not scoring. But you're right, I think the way the game's called, the fact that they're going to give him every and one opportunity possible, they're not going to call us traveling. He utilizes the Euro step illegally, in my opinion, but they don't call it, so it's legal as long as they don't call it. I think he's almost, you know, give him his 50 and then just make sure the other guys don't beat you.
Yeah, because if he gets his 50, you don't lose, you know, if you score 51. But if the other guys are getting 20 and the other guys are getting, you know, 28, then you've got some serious problems. You can't let that go all the way down the line. Houston, Utah should be actually a fun series to watch. Final series out in the West. And I would have liked to have seen this matchup if Portland was healthy, but the Portland Trailblazers are the 3 seed. They're facing the number 6 seed, Oklahoma City Thunder. But Portland doesn't have Yusuf Nurkic, who I think would have changed them completely. And we're not even sure about CJ McCollum. I don't know how he's going to be. I just can't see Portland being able to hang in this series, even though I look at Oklahoma City and they're funky. There's something wrong with them right now.
No, you're right. I think that is a 50-50 toss-up matchup, and I'm like you. I think the Thunder should get that one, especially if Paul George plays well.
Yeah.
And Steven Adams has a decent series inside. I think the Thunder need him to play fairly well for them to win, but I don't think Lillard is enough to carry the Trailblazers by himself, although he's extremely good. CJ McCollum, unless he really comes around and can play 100%, I think that Nurkic injury really did. You know, although, you know, the guys that are coming, who is it, Enes Kanter, I think it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of a crafty old dude that you know, he gets some stuff done in there. And the Collins kid is a little bit underrated. I just think it's going to be a heck of a series. And who's going to be the difference maker, Damian Lillard or Russ Westbrook? You know, who's going to have the better series might be the team that comes out of that one based on those two guys.
Okay, Coach, I'm going to put you on the spot. You've got to make your pick for NBA Finals. Who would you be going with if you were picking those right now?
Got to go Warriors, and I'm going to go Raptors.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to go with, too. I'd be going Golden State and Toronto. I think that there are more talented teams out there in the East. I just think Toronto might have something figured out. You know, the best thing about that matchup, though, if we were to see Toronto versus Golden State, I actually think Toronto might be the team that could possibly match up with the Warriors the best of anyone over there.
No, they have the right kind of mindset to play with the Warriors. You're right. You know, they're not afraid to be disciplined with their defensive transition game. They communicate, they locate shooters, and they do all the things the Nuggets don't do. And they do it pretty well. So yeah, I'd like to see that matchup. Actually, I think that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think it would be too. And I know that we're kind of in this mode where we've seen the Warriors against the Cavaliers the last few years, and the finals ends up being this huge drop off because the Western Conference Finals was really the finals. Whoever won that was going to win the whole thing. Maybe if you got a Toronto through there and they're playing well, we could look at the finals and go, hey, this might not just be this huge drop off.
Yeah, I think the East is getting better. And I think the balance up and down the East, you know, with the top maybe five or six teams, is going to help the East teams play better in the championship series because they've had to play better in stretches where in the past they really haven't had to. So yeah, I think, you know, there's potential there for some good basketball in the finals and in mid June, early July, whenever the heck they get to it finally.
It's such a long season. It just goes forever. Hey, yes. We've got to take a little bit out of that because it's just such a long season.
Yeah.
If you were in charge, would you change the way the NBA playoff format is? Would you like seed them 1 through 16 and just take the best teams, or would you keep it same East West the way it is now?
I probably would, you know, I'm a traditionalist, so I'd probably keep it the way it is now. Yeah. I might transition from like they used to 5-game series into the 7-game series to maybe lop off 2 to 3 weeks of the season.
See, and those 5-game series were fun though.
Yeah, I like those. You know, that's back when Denver upset the Seattle Supersonics, and you know, I think it gives the lower seed a little bit better chance, which I think it makes it more interesting. Plus, you know, the season's way too long. They need to shorten the season if they can. And there's no reason to be playing basketball in mid-June. It just doesn't make sense. So they could finish up by the end of May around Memorial Day or shortly thereafter. I think everybody'd be better for it.
Hey, tomorrow on The Dose, we will, of course, be recapping the biggest news in the world of sports. And we'll be finishing up our conversation with Coach Mack. You know, we are actually going to talk. Wait for it. We are actually going to talk some Major League Baseball.
What?
I know. It's shocking, but we do talk a little bit of MLB. And, you know, I do want to get his thoughts on the NFL draft, so you have to make sure that you tune into The Dose tomorrow. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to The Daily Dose every day. Thank you so much for the feedback. Thank you for the questions. Thank you for the suggestions. And most of all, thank you for sharing the show. It is very appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.